Welcome to First Fiction, the podcast dedicated to showcasing notable new fiction published on Verso.inc. Verso.inc is a new online community for discovering and sharing great fiction. Our mission is to help discerning readers discover the best new fiction and assist emerging authors in growing their audiences. First Fiction features selected works distinguished as noteworthy by Verso.inc moderators. Keep listening, and you might discover something you love. Hello, I'm your host, Karen Hahn, and I'm thrilled to share another story with you today by Gerhard Gerke. You might remember his supervillain high that we shared with you in an earlier episode. Red Wrath also features superheroes, but it's a dark fantasy geared toward an adult audience. We had a chance to talk about Red's character arc, so if you have questions, as I do, keep listening after the story and you'll get to hear that interview. This is Red Wrath by Gerhard Gerke, read by Abby Gerke.
Red Wrath by Gerhard Gerke, Chapter 1. I was sitting in a bar, brooding and thinking about superheroes. There was a special on the news all about them. The large, flat-screen televisions mounted on the wall should have been showing the Mets game. Instead, we got a fawning comedian whose film career had tanked years ago talking across a desk with a Chicago-based vigilante named Fireball Kid. The show's guest must have been at least 40, long of tooth for anyone called Kid. He was wearing white spandex with an orange flame pattern running down the center, which only accentuated his slight gut. The ridiculous costume wasn't visible when he ignited. The spandex were placed with a sheath of fire. At least the kid had the courtesy to step away from the host's desk and activate his powers in the middle of the performance stage. Flame licked off his body, obscuring all his features. The band director sloshed him with a bucket of water, which erupted into steam. Fireball Kid turned as if angered, and then everyone shared a good-natured laugh. All of this was transmitted via the closed captioning, as the volume was mercifully turned down to almost nothing. The bar was well over half full, what I guessed was a standard crowd for a Wednesday night when the Yankees weren't playing. "Carolyn?" a man asked. I perked up. Date was here. I offered my hand across the small table. "That's me," I said. "You must be Jimmy." Jimmy had dimples, and they were curled as he smiled. Mid-30s, curly dark hair, a little too long, pasty complexion in need of sunlight. As I looked him over, I saw he was doing the same. It was the unspoken game of who lied more in their dating profile, but he didn't look disappointed. I was in good shape, better than most. The only thing I worried about was my hard arm muscles, visible because of my sleeveless blouse. Some might find it a turnoff, but he slid in the booth across from me, obviously not deterred. "You have something already," he said, nodding towards my club soda and lime. "Yeah, gin and tonic. Let me grab a beer." He got up and went to the bar, checking his phone as he waited. Nice device, Apple, their latest. His jeans and cargo shirt weren't anything special, but he wore expensive shoes and a wristwatch that looked nice, probably employed. He also wasn't a big guy, which worked for what I had in mind, a perfect target. When he returned, I drank up the last of my club soda. "The beer looks good." His face brightened. "Let me get you one." "How about one of their margarita pitchers?" As he turned to go back to the bar, I poured 3 ounces of vodka from a flask into his glass of lager. It killed the head on the beer and almost overfilled the glass. He returned with a pitcher and poured us 2 margaritas. I pretended to drink while he had 2 beverages to choose from. "It's a party now," I said with a wink. He sipped his beer. He made a face, but it didn't stop him from finishing it and moving on to the margarita. We talked. By talk, I mean he went on about the software company he worked for. I made enough noise that he believed I was listening and interested. Meanwhile, on TV, Fireball Kid was gone, and a musical guest was bouncing up and down with a microphone in her hand. A commercial for the evening news showed the latest Kronos activity. I had to force myself to return my attention to Jimmy. 30 minutes later, my date was talking too loud and laughing at his own jokes. I refilled his margarita glass. "Do you not like it?" he asked, nodding at my mostly full glass. His pale cheeks had turned rosy. "I can get you something else." "I hate to waste what's here, but it's a bit watered down. I hear their triple IPA is really good. I'll have one if you will." The beer was the highest alcohol by volume on their menu. "I should probably slow down, or at least get some food in me." "Let's get the beer, and then we can order an appetizer." He went and got 2 beers. While he was up, I spiked my margarita with more vodka and traded glasses. Once he got back, he sampled his beer and nodded approvingly. He waited for me to try mine. I took a taste and made a face. "A little bitter. Tell me what you think." "Better than the lager." The flush to his face only darkened as I took conservative sips and he finished both his margarita and the second beer. On a second TV, Maid of Honor was helping first responders on the scene of a massive pileup on the Jersey side of the Holland Tunnel. She pushed a flipped Cadillac SUV back onto its tires with ease. Her costume was a flowing white robe that looked like a toga. Several motorists were out of their cars and recording the action with their phones. When I saw Jimmy was also watching TV, I nudged him with my foot. "Sorry," he said. "Always exciting stuff whenever they show up, right?" "I never miss my supers news." Jimmy ordered food from a server, but before our calamari plate arrived, I put my hand on his. It startled him. At least he didn't jerk away. "Did you drive here?" I asked. "Uber." "How far is your place?" I knew how to smile with my eyes. We were out of the bar in minutes, him opening the door for me while trying to call up the closest ride on one of his apps. I didn't let it show I was wishing he had a car. Too many things could go wrong going back to his place, and any more witnesses besides the bar patrons were possible complications. He was leaning on me by the time the ride showed up. The woman driving the small Hyundai SUV didn't notice, just told us to buckle up as she drove to his requested destination. "Man, I'm loopy," he mumbled. "I guess it's been a long day." He was swooning. "Just hang in there," I said softly. Then I whispered some things in his ear to give him motivation. The Hyundai dropped us off in front of an apartment building. He swiped a key card to get us into the lobby, and I had to help him make it to the elevator. He was leaning in the corner as we went up to the 3rd floor. He didn't exit when the doors opened. "Come on, Jimmy, almost there." I had to get under an arm as we stumbled to his door. "Don't feel so good," he said. "I really should have eaten something." "You're fine. Give me your keys." He reached into his pocket but came out with his phone. "This is hitting me stronger than I expected. We better call it a night. I don't feel so good. I need to call my..." "I'll take care of you, Jimmy. No need to call anyone." I snatched the phone away. With my other hand, I pulled on his belt and leaned in close, yanked his keys from his pocket. There were a lot of them, and I couldn't figure out which fit the bottom lock. Jimmy's legs were spaghetti. I took most of his weight as I fumbled for the right key. A door down the hall creaked. An older man and woman emerged and walked past us. One of them greeted Jimmy and stared. "Hi, neighbors," I said brightly, keeping Jimmy between me and them so they couldn't see my face. "Everything okay?" the old man asked. "Just a little too much celebrating at the company party. We launched today." "Congratulations. Have a good night." I watched them leave before trying again with the keys. He had a nice place, clutter-free, with lots of tech toys and a TV bigger than most cars. I flopped him onto his couch. His eyes were closed and his jaw was moving, but no words were coming out. "Go to sleep, why don't you?" I said as I plucked his credit cards out of his wallet. I scanned them with my phone, using a dark web app. I sent the numbers along to a service that would ding each card for a couple grand, splitting it 50-50 with me. I'd get a Visa gift card in my P.O. box. The amount of cash he had was barely lunch money, but the score would pay the bills for another couple of weeks. Once the gift cards arrived, I would have rent covered. His phone was chiming. I couldn't help but look when a variety of text messages came in, displaying on the lock screen. All the messages appeared work-related. Still, it was time for me to go. I made sure he was sitting upright and breathing normal before I left. It was about a 30-minute walk back to the bar where I had parked my scooter. I used the time to clear my head and let the nerves unwind. Once the money came, I could pay bills. I also had my sights set on a new reloading bench if I could make room for it in my studio apartment. But there were a lot of other toys on my wish list. A new scope, a rangefinder, a motorcycle, and a dozen other gadgets. I also wanted more training and range time with my new rifle. But if I didn't want to lose my apartment, I had to go to work. Besides robbing the occasional date, I made money working as a personal trainer and yoga instructor, running a spinning class, and teaching a self-defense workshop for women, where I threw in some Muay Thai moves that my students ate up. A full workload. I got my workouts for free at the gym chain where I taught and saw clients, and I had places I could change and shower while out hunting chronos. But my secret lair was a studio apartment over in Brooklyn with no room for a weight bench. By the time I made it back to the bar, it was past midnight. I had a client at 8. Time to get home and sleep. Revenge didn't put food on the table or a roof over my head.
It's a privilege to welcome Gerhard Gerke back to First Fiction. Gerhard, thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Karen. Thank you so much for having me again. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We love anytime you post anything on Versa.ink. It's always so fun to read. Just as a reminder to our listeners, Gerhard Gerke is the author of several science fiction novels, including the Minder's War series, Nineveh's Child, The Beginner's Guide to Invading Earth, and the YA Supervillain High series, which hopefully you heard in a previous episode. I believe it was episode number 2. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to Supervillain High, because that was a great one as well. And so today we're talking about Red Wrath, which is, that's the first book in a series, right? You said there's a series related to that as well?
Yeah, so it's the first of a three part trilogy. So it's the Blood of the Masked God series, and it tells a complete story over those three books.
Okay, so she doesn't get her revenge in the first book, or she does and it causes more problems for her?
Well, everything has its complications, and revenge is definitely one of them. So I think that's all I could say about that.
Okay. And this is more of a dark superhero fantasy that's meant for adults, right? So different universe from Supervillain High, different audience.
Yeah. So a reader of Supervillain High might enjoy it, but while Supervillain High was a PG, we'll call this a PG-13.
Okay.
So it does have a little bit more violence.
Okay. And these are actual superheroes that have powers, right? I mean, we see Maid of Honor lifting the SUV, and this isn't so much the gadget style mad scientist from Supervillain High, right?
Yeah. So we have again full blown superheroes with powers, a variety of them, and some of them are running amok. So I think fans of DC and Marvel comics will find those power sets within the story.
That's great. Now, I have to ask, how hard is it to come up with names? Like, I love the names in here, you know, and the image of Fireball Kid, who's not really a kid, you know, 40 plus, has a little bit of a gut. Maid of Honor, also a fantastic name. So how long does it take you to come up with a good superhero name?
Well, unfortunately, you just got to keep trying because a lot of names were taken. So it means you have to just write down your ideas for names and then do your homework and make sure that you're not going to get yourself sued.
Sure.
but there's some great resources online for actually looking for superhero names to find out where a certain name has appeared. And those have been invaluable. I remember back in about the middle of high school, junior high, we were playing some superhero role-playing games, and we came up with a ton of characters back then. So some of that might still be somewhere in the backs of my brain where it bubbled forth for some of these stories.
Yeah, I was going to say, were you able to use any of that content? Did they get cameos in your books?
A couple of names I think I was able to draw from, but most of them I had to revise because they were already taken. We were even less original as kids than we are today.
Oh, that's great. Okay. And I love that, you know, you're watching this scene unfold, and your protagonist is sympathetic, even though at the same time you're horrified at what she's doing, right? You know that nothing good is in store for her victim here. What did you do to try to get that voice right? And particularly with it being a woman, were there any challenges there related to trying to really get that protagonist to work?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a challenge writing from a perspective that's not your own. And, you know, a male author writing a woman, it's understandable that it definitely takes an extra bit of careful analysis on where the story is going to go. And at least in my case, how it's going to proceed with it. I think it's starting with Red needing to be a woman. I found that out when coming up with the original story idea about who the main character is, and then what would be the best fit for the story when we start getting down to her origin. Once I had the character down, then to get the woman's perspective down, at least as best as I am able to, it is really just to start with having empathy for a situation. So just appreciating what her, what would she be feeling after she went through what she did to make her who she is, where we start the story, and she's about to do some pretty terrible things.
Mm-hmm. And I love the way that you introduce this idea of revenge. You introduce, you communicate a lot just really through nuance without having to spoon feed the character. We don't know what her backstory is. We don't know why she has, is seeking revenge with Kronos. We don't know if Kronos is good or bad. We don't know if she's good or bad, but we're there for it. We want to see what's happening. We want to discover.
Yeah. And I mean, it's really, I guess any character doesn't exist in a vacuum. So all those things start getting populated as you follow her, you know, through her adventure.
So will we still be cheering for her as the story goes on? Or, you know, are there moments that we're like, no, I'm sorry, this is just too much?
I really do hope so, because she is an anti-hero in that she does unheroic things. But ultimately, she is on a bad course and is forced to correct that to the extent that she can. So she is I keep coming back to the word dark. She's in a very dark place, but there is a reason for it. So that hopefully at least establishes some sympathy for her. At least that's a place to start. But I do hope that you do start rooting for her as the story continues and you find out the type of person that Kronos is, who's pretty much her world Superman.
Okay. So she's not necessarily, doesn't necessarily have allies as far as others seeing him as the villain that he is to her.
That's a major plot point in that she starts alone and then she realizes that she finds a friend who is in a very similar situation to her and is kind of following her similar course. So she does gain allies.
Great. Ultimately redemptive.
I would say so, yes. Although okay. if we were living in her shoes, she would have to go back and do a lot of apologizing.
Yeah, well, you know, just in the excerpt that we've seen, it's clear that she doesn't mind hurting people if she needs to get what she needs. So what was your favorite part about this particular character or this series that you enjoyed?
I think just coming up with the rather impossible situation, because getting into her past meant uncovering what it was that set her on this trajectory of revenge. And it started at a very young age when the most powerful man in the world killed her parents. Uh-huh. And yet he's a hero that's everyone adores, and no one will believe her when she tries to convince other people that he did it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I really just wanted to present the situation. What would you do if Superman killed your parents?
Mm-hmm.
And no one believed you that he did it on purpose and it wasn't just an accident.
I love the way you're so character focused. Would you say that your stories are character driven?
Yeah, I mean it's a good question, because I think it's the characters that that draw us to a story. I mean, sometimes the initial situation might get us interested in something, but I personally find myself kind of bored if I don't have a reason to care about the mm-hmm. person I'm reading about, or at least to have some level of sympathy or empathy with them.
Okay, so your superheroes, how do they get their powers, or do you ever address that?
I do. So the world has a number of superheroes. Some are definitely higher octane than the others.
Okay.
And there is an underlying reason why many of them have those powers, and that is part of the mystery about Kronos, and it's something that Red delves into, and she herself finds that there might be a path to power, but it will have a very great cost on her.
Uh-huh. Ah, cool. That sounds great. Readers, if you want to, or listeners, if you want to read this, you can go to verso.inc and you can read that first chapter of Red Wrath yourself. And can you share then how listeners can connect with you, your website, social media links?
Sure. Happy to connect on either Facebook or Twitter, or my website is gerhardgerke.com. That's a GERHARDGEHRKE, or if you just Google author of Red Wrath, and hopefully you'll be able to find me that way. And again, always happy to hear feedback and questions and comments, and happy to connect.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us again, and always excited to hear more of your work and see more of your work on verso.inc. Thank you for listening to this episode of First Fiction. If you'd like to hear more great fiction from the best emerging authors, be sure to subscribe. To learn more about this podcast and the authors and stories we promote, visit verso.inc. That's verso.ink.